Blog Talk Radio.
All right, praise the Lord. We're back. We want to thank you and give you praise, Father, for everything that you're doing in this ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. And we bless you, Lord. We bless the name of Jesus Christ. We invite your presence in our midst, and we give you glory, we give you praise, we give you honor. We thank you, Lord, that in a few moments we will enter into Holy Communion together as one body fellowshipping in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, for the wall of fire with the glory in the midst, the warring, linking angels, and the praising angels in Jesus' name. And from our position, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we bind Satan, the strong man, and all of his underlings. And we bind the devils, the portals. We close the portals in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We close and seal every demonic open door. We bind every manipulation, every witchcraft attack. We bind every form of godliness which denies your power. We bind voodoo spirits, vampire spirits, trafficking demons, technology attacks, all the retaliation of the enemy. We bind the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. We bind all oppression and depression. We bind passivity, Baal, distraction, Beelzebub, Apollyon, confusion, and rebellion in Jesus' name. And we take authority, dominion, and power over every spirit that drains the strength from the people of God. We bind the witches, the warlocks, and the wizards in Jesus' name and all of their wicked works. And all of their sacrifices, we return where they came from in the name of Jesus Christ. We forbid their works to come against the children of God in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that we are filled and covered with the armor of God. Our loins are girt about with the spirit of truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness, and our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We take the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We have on the helmet of salvation, and we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We're covered in the blood, Lord. No weapons formed against us shall be able to prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment we condemn. We cast down all imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every evil thought. And, Father, we cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. We thank you, Lord. We ask you to give us eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to believe, and a mind to receive what the Spirit of the living God says to the church today. And from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we cut ourselves free from all evil spirits in Jesus' name. We cut ourselves free from every demonic connection in the name of Jesus Christ. We cut ourselves free from ungodly silver cords, ley lines, soul ties, attachments, covenants, agreements, oaths, consents, garlands, vows, pledges, pacts, and any other form of demonic agreement in Jesus' name. We pull down and break down and blow up all walls of protection around witches, warlocks, wizards, Satanists, sorcerers, in Jesus' name. We break the power of every curse, hex, vex, spell, charm, fetish, all psychic prayers, psychic thoughts, all witchcraft, sorcery, magic, voodoo, all mind control, jinxes, potions, bewitchments, sickness, pain, and torment, burnings, incantations, chantings, hoodoo, root works, and every other ungodly work in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice in Jesus' name. For when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You've given us power and authority over the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of Jesus Christ and his blood atonement. And we give you praise, glory, and honor, Father. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for all who are in authority and all true Christians. We pray for President Trump. We pray for every Christian. We pray for all who must walk through this life knowing that the enemy is their enemy. We thank you, Father, for giving us the necks of our enemies in Jesus' name. For we know that though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. Through our God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Father, your word declares that the righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. We thank you and we give you praise for your mighty power at work in our lives and your miraculous miracles whenever we come together in your name. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, before we enter into the prayer meeting, we're going to participate in Holy Communion. We come before you, Lord, repenting of our sins. Sometimes, Lord, you know, we think that we're doing the right thing, and we find out later when we come before you that we not necessarily did a bad thing, but it wasn't the right thing at the right time. And so for those things and many others, Father, we repent and we ask your forgiveness for your cleansing, for your healing, and for your deliverance. We lay our hearts before you, Lord. We are a flawed people, but we have a perfect God. And we thank you that you perfect those things that concern us. Everything that burdens our hearts this morning, we give to you. Every worry, every care, every burden, every pain, every sorrow, every guilt, whatever is holding our hearts today, Lord, we give it to you. Because the word declares that we are to love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our spirit, and all of our strength. We so long to love you, Lord, the way you need, the way you deserve to be loved. For you are God and God alone, and beside you there is none other. We thank you, Lord, for calling our hearts to you once again. We thank you for calling us out of the busyness of everyday living, Lord, and calling us aside to you. We thank you for giving us this fast, Lord, that we might live the life that saints are called to live with the faith as it was once delivered unto the saints. We thank you, Lord, for calling us aside that we might hear your voice more clearly, that we might obey you, that we may serve you in the newness of life. And, Father, we thank you for your blessings, for your many, many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for helping us not to take your blessings for granted, but to rejoice and to come into the congregation of the righteous, giving our praise report, Lord. Because the Bible says that we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and we love not our life to the death. The Bible says, Lord, that if we don't set our lives aside, if we don't lose our lives, we won't find it. So, Father, help us, regardless of our age, to realize that our personal desires are not what the world is all about, that self and self-centeredness is not what you call us to. No, you call us to a God who loved us so that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish but inherit eternal life. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, and we thank you for his sacrifice. May we not murmur and complain when sacrifice comes to us, when we commit to you and we surrender to you and we yield to you and we give our hearts to you, and it requires more than we thought at the first. Lord, let us find joy in the sacrifice. Joy in the humbling, joy in the meekness, joy in the yielding. We give you praise, glory, and honor for it in Jesus' name. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, we thank you, Lord, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Partake of the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Partake of the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Father, we thank you for the judgment that you send into our lives, the chastening of the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. And let everyone say amen.
Amen.
And amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we bring these prayer requests before you, Lord, we ask, Lord, to be strengthened to complete the fast that you have given us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask, Father, for your touch in each life, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that as we come before you, that you hear our prayers, that you send us help from the sanctuary and strengthen us out of Zion. Because, Lord, you hear us in the day of trouble and you defend us. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord will fulfill all of our petitions in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for extended grace. The Bible says you give us more and more grace. Lord, you have commanded your strength. We thank you for the strength that you have commanded to us, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the strength that you command to come to your people in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that you are our God, and we will praise you. You are our God, and we will exalt you. We thank you, Lord, that we are hoping in your word, that though our eyes may fail, you will comfort us. You will encourage us. You will give us the word that we need. All of your commandments are faithful. Though we are persecuted wrongfully, Lord, you help us. We thank you for the grace, and we thank you for the help. We will praise you, Lord, with our whole heart. We will praise you in the sanctuary. We will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And in the day when we cried, Lord, you answered us, and you strengthened us with strength in our soul. We ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to provide our people, Lord, with answers to knotty or difficult questions that they may be facing in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you know what every situation requires and what every need has to have. We thank you that you are the God that supplies all of our needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you, Lord, for searching hearts, for hearts that are seeking your face, that are coming to you daily, looking for you, looking to hear from you, with their Bibles open and their hearts filled with praise, coming to hear from the Lord our God in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we're asking you to ease those who are heavy laden with troubles, cares, or burdens in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you are a rock in a weary land. You are our shelter in time of storm, that you are our burden bearer, that you provide all of our needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you, Lord, for those that are in authority, in any capacity, Lord, doing what they do as unto the Lord and not unto men. We thank you for all the presidents, all the prime ministers, governors, mayors, city council members, sheriffs, business owners, CEOs, managers, employees, and everyone who contributes to this society in any way, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. We thank you, Lord, for all Christian leadership who lead in any capacity. We ask, Father, that those that have gone astray, those that have wandered away from the truth of your word, those, Father, that deny or will not walk in the truth of your word because of their denomination or because of their group. We ask you, Father, to convict them through your word and call them to remember that Jesus gave his life for this faith, for this relationship, for this body, for the body of Christ. He shed his blood as one who had never sinned for us, Lord, and surely we owe him all things. We thank you, Lord, for local church leadership in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask that you strengthen them, that you protect them, that you lead them, guide them, and direct them, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask, Father, that you give them answers on the spot in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you to make a way for them, Father, where previous to now there has been no way. We ask you to open new vistas for them, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for those who are not ashamed to be called pastor, not running behind the more coveted title in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that it's an honor to be a pastor and to stand in leadership in your kingdom in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for a greater anointing in this hour in Jesus' name. We thank you for the outpouring of your spirit on pastors everywhere, your true pastors, Lord, that their light may shine before men, that men may see their good works, that they may glorify their Father which is in heaven. We bind the attacks of enemies against the pastors in Jesus' name. We take authority, dominion, and power at those fiery arrows, sometimes coming through the congregation in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for all of those who have almost dropped their hands, Father, because no one would come alongside to hold their hands up in prayer and intercession. You know, Lord, Aaron and Hur stood by Moses and held up his arms until the battle was won. And, Father, we ask that you strengthen the pastors and those that support them in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for all those who do not think it robbery to pay their tithes and offerings in the name of Jesus. That know, Lord, that this is unto you, that this is what you require, Father, in Jesus' name. It's what you ask us to do, Father, in honoring you. You said where our heart is, that's where our treasure will be. And if there is no treasure that we have for your house, we have no heart for your house as well. Father, we thank you, Lord, that this is our reasonable service in Jesus' name. We lift up to you, Father, those that take up their time in the news, some that should be there and some that should not be. Most of them need to be saved. We thank you, Father. We bind the narrative that comes out that is purely gossip and lies in Jesus' name. We bind every lie coming through the mainstream media in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for your truth marching on. We thank you for your truth overtaking the lie. We thank you for the power of God being released through the mouths of your people in Jesus' name. We release the power in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the greatness of your spirit in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise, glory, and honor, Father. We thank you that all lies will be torn down. We thank you, Lord, that all persecution of the church will be torn down. We thank you, Lord, that your true people, your true believers will stand up and the redeemed of the Lord will say so in the name of Jesus Christ. We lift up all missionaries to you, Father, wherever they may be, wherever on the globe they are, Father. We ask that not only do you protect their lives, we ask you to give them wisdom. We ask you to provide their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus our Lord. We lift up our friends, our families, our relatives, and our loved ones to you, Father. Help them to stay in the word. Help them to live the word, not to go vacillating back and forth. One minute, oh, yes, Lord, and the next minute, something else that's not in the word. We thank you, Father, for teaching our young people what it means to honor God, what it means to live for Jesus Christ, what it means to shun peer pressure, what it means to pull away from an addiction to electronics in Jesus' name. We bind that addiction in Jesus' name. We thank you and we give you praise, Lord, that when we come before you, Lord, we give you our full attention. We thank you, Lord, that we're always listening for your voice. We thank you, Lord, that we shun ungodly companionships in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that we put away from our lives all things that do not please you. And we open our hearts and we open our minds. And we decide, Lord, that we will serve you. We will serve you in our youth. That was a position that I took, Lord, when I was but a child. When I was in the fifth grade in Sunday school, I decided I would serve you with my life. It's not that I made no mistakes along the way. It's just that the commitment remained until this day. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you and we give you praise. We lift up to you, Lord, those that are closest to hell. You know who they are, Lord, wherever they are, about to take their last breath, some about to take their lives. We bind suicide, we bind the murderer, we bind Satan in Jesus' name, we bind depression in their lives. We bind the lie of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. That gun will not go off. We thank you for releasing your angels now in the name of Jesus. Yes, O Lord. We bind up that one right now that's planning to slip their wrist in Jesus' name. Let that one live, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we lift up the one that you have gone after time and time and time again. You send them warning and warning and warning and warning again and again and again. You've given them clear choices to live for you, Lord, but that one has decided that whoremongering is for them, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the wake-up call that you will send. We thank you for the judgment that you release in that life. We thank you for the chastisement of the Lord in Jesus' name. We thank you for the punishments that you release according to your will in Jesus' name. We ask you, Lord, to bring that one back into the house of the Lord. Their parents took them to church, O God. Their parents lived a life before them. We thank you, Lord, for reminding that one where you started it from, Lord, and everything that you have done for them. We ask you, Lord, to bring them back in. We ask you to terminate their season of pleasure in sin in Jesus' name. And, Father, we pray for those who have no one else to pray for them. Those that think they are forgotten, Lord, that the world has passed them by, that no one really cares and it doesn't really matter. Touch them today. Oh, comforter, come to them now. Comfort the widow in the name of Jesus Christ and let the widow trust in you. Comfort the widower, Lord, and let the widower trust in you. Those that are alone, that are reaching out for their family members, but their grandchildren are too busy in their own secular lives to pay attention, Lord. We thank you for touching them and getting their attention, Lord, in Jesus' name. We lift up to you those who have no one, Father, in Jesus' name. Those that have no one to stand with them, no one to help them, no one really to care. We know, Lord, that you care for them, for they've received the spirit of adoption. There isn't anything, Lord. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Bring them close to you and close to the true people of God in this hour, Father, in Jesus' name. Let them be touched. Let them know by your spirit that you love them immensely, that you've never stopped loving them, that you've seen everything they've been through and all the sacrifices they have done, and you receive them, Lord God. We thank you for your touch in their lives today. We pray for Christians everywhere, everywhere, Father. Your people are being lured away from your kingdom and into the devil's trap. But we break the snare of the fowler in Jesus' name. We break every trap of the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for your spirit succoring them in, bringing them back in, from the fields of sin in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for every prayer request that's in the global prayer room at MiracleInternetChurch.com. We thank you for MiracleInternetChurch.com, Lord. It's been a help. It's been a blessing, and it remains to be so for the body of Christ worldwide. We thank you, Lord, for those that are connected to us. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation of their souls and of the family members in Jesus' name. We thank you for touching them, for drawing us all together in your arms. We release Psalm 91 over everyone And we give you praise, glory, and honor for it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, saints, you know, pastor is a human being too. Amen? She's your pastor, but she's a human being. And pastor has trials too, just like you do. And pastor is asking for your special prayers this week. Amen? Pastor is dealing with a situation that she did not expect, but nonetheless, God is victorious in everything. Amen? She had kind of a hard time last night. She had to wake up at 2 in the morning. She had to talk to God a lot. But God was there to listen, to hear, and to answer her prayers. Amen? And so he is for you. So we thank you for your continued support. We thank you for bringing other people to MiracleInternetChurch.com. We thank you for walking in agreement with us and for supporting the ministry. The Lord will richly reward you in Jesus' name. Today, saints, we're going to talk about a special subject. And it's very pertinent for our time. He shall sustain thee. He shall sustain thee. Many situations present a challenge to the believer in Jesus Christ. We should not be concerned because our God will help us through every situation and around every obstacle. He knows the way that we take. He is already with us in the midst of our struggle. He will teach us. He will direct our steps. He will guide us onto the right path. He will make the matter plain to us. He will comfort us. As we cast each care upon him, he will never allow the righteous to be moved. Amen? From Psalm 55, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 29 and 30. Dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you. Amen? Amen. There are times in the journey of every believer when we find ourselves almost overcome with perplexity. We seem to have more issues to solve than we have the energy or knowledge to deal with effectively. Our schedules come to press upon us as well. Some issues get left aside. Others slip through the cracks. And if it were not for the Lord, who is on our side, we would be at a loss for what to do. Our family and friends have expectations of us. We have our own expectations too. In the midst of the frenzy, we cry out, Lord, help me. So, join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Amen? This scripture says that the treasure that God has given us of himself is in our earthly body. It's in our earthen vessels that we walk around in until we leave this body. For the purpose of the excellency of his power being made known, that it's not our power, it's his power that keeps us going. It's his power that gets us through every challenge and every trial, every tribulation and trouble. It's not our greatness, it's his greatness. It's not our brilliance, it's his wisdom. It's not that we knew how to pull it all together. No, it's his provision, his providence, and his grace in our lives. It's not that we're such tough people that we pull up our bootstraps. No, it's his strength being imparted to us. This is how the Christian goes forth. Because often, we have trouble on every single side. No matter where we look, and no matter what is going on, there's another problem arising. As someone said, you know, when you own a house, there's always something to fix. Yet we're not distressed about this. We know that God is working it out in our lives. We're puzzled, but we're not throwing our hands up, giving up. Why? Because our God is in the midst, working it out for us. We are persecuted on our jobs, in our families, and almost every place else that we go. But God has not forsaken his people. He is yet in our midst. We've been cast down because we were disappointed. You know, people will disappoint you. Situations will disappoint you. But we have not been destroyed. We're being held together by the power of his grace. In our bodies, we bear the dying of the Lord Jesus, you see. When we go into the water of baptism, we let go of that old life and we pick up a new life with Christ Jesus. Amen? We're crucified with him. Nevertheless, we're not just the ones living. It's Christ living in us. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest or known in our bodies. That people can see in our lives that it's not us, it's not us. It's by his spirit that we survive. Amen? It's not our might, it's not our power. It's his power, his spirit living in us. That we are quickened in our mortal bodies by his living spirit. Amen? We must remember the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. If you haven't highlighted that part, you should. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted or to be tried above that you are able. He will not allow you to be completely washed out with whatever comes against you, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. He is our way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Amen? And therefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Don't have anything between you and God. You know, there was this old church song that says, there's nothing between my soul and my Savior. There's nothing between. You see, you should not allow anyone or anything to come between you and your loving Lord. nothing in your heart, nothing in your life, no one, not even your children, not your spouse, no situation, no financial situation, no worldly situation, no church situation, no situation at all to come between you and the Lord. Amen? And when you have sinned. And you need to go to the Lord. You need to go to the Lord and to repent. When your job is more important than the Lord, you need to repent. When your family is more important than the Lord, you need to repent. When you are more important than the Lord, you need to repent. Amen? Amen? All things consist because of Him. Amen? All things. So, God will give us a way, a means of escape. He is in us and with us. He knows when we have come to the end of our rope. But you see, at the end of our rope, He's right there holding us in His arms, if we would but remember that. But don't give up or become impatient or rush into rash choices. God is in the battle with us. He will provide the strength, the courage, and the heart to face the music. Some decisions are just not easy. Some choices are painful. We must keep in mind the words from Hebrews chapter 4, and verse 15. Hebrews 4, verse 15. And I'm going to begin at 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, our high priest, Jesus Christ, came to the earth as a human being. He lived just like humans live. He ate, he slept, he went to the bathroom, he took baths, he had parents, he had siblings, he had aunts and uncles, he had cousins, he had neighbors, he had friends. He had enemies. He lived just like us. His earthly father was a carpenter. He was the oldest son, so he had to work. He didn't sit back on his leaves and play computer games. He was out there doing carpeting work. Carpenters do not sit on their rears watching everybody else. No, they're on the roofs. They're building homes. They're building furniture. They're building something. And so Jesus wasn't a lazy teenager. He was helping his mother. He was helping to rear his brothers and sisters. He was an active participant in his family. No doubt he knew how to cook, because later on the disciples were out in the ocean. They were out in the sea, and they came to shore, and he had cooked them breakfast. So evidently he knew something about housekeeping. Amen? Amen. I can't imagine that he would be there with as many brothers and sisters as he had and know nothing about cleaning a house. I can't imagine such, you see, because Jesus was very close to his mother, and he was close to his brothers and his sisters, and he was a helper. You can tell that, because as he went through his ministry, he helped and he aided everyone that he could. You see, there are things you learn in childhood that you take through for the rest of your life. Either they are instilled in you then, or you have a hard time getting them later. You see, learning to serve is something that you learn at home. It's something that you take with you all through life. It's something that you exhibit in church. It's something that you exhibit when you go to see the relatives. It's something that you exhibit in the neighborhood. It's something that you exhibit on your job. It's something that God wants to use in your life. And so serving is a wonderful place. The place of a servant is an honored place. God honors servants. And so our young people need to learn that serving the Lord and serving in his house is a powerful thing to do. It's not just Sister So-and-so saying, well, would you stand there and pray over the prayers? No, it's honoring God. It's serving God in his house. And you should have the right attitude and the right heart and the right mind to serve the Lord. You know, our young people need to learn that we serve the Lord all of our lives, not just when we get to be what is called adults. We start wherever the Lord finds us. You see, I was in the fourth or fifth grade when they called me to be one of the secretaries of the Sunday school. I was to go around collecting the envelopes from the classes and counting up how many people came and counting their money. One of my first jobs was counting the money in God's church. So you see, there are many jobs for us, many jobs. And we shouldn't wait till we think we are grown-ups to finally decide it's time to do something for God. We should begin right where we are, when we're little people, helping out at home, helping in the neighborhood, helping our aunts and our uncles and our godparents, helping with our brothers and sisters, and finding joy in serving Jesus while we do it. Amen? Jesus cares when we are so pressed that we feel as though we are about to pop. He understands our load of care. He knows the seriousness of our situation. He is aware of the urgency of our need. Jesus Christ is always here for us. Our Heavenly Father is always here for us. God the Holy Spirit is always here for us. In Psalm 46 and verse 1, Psalm 46, verse 1. Amen? Amen. Let's all go there together. Praise the Lord. This is one of my mother's favorite scriptures. God is our refuge and strength. God, not someone else, not some government organization, not some people that we've been depending on our whole life, not our spouse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. God is our refuge. A refuge is a shelter or protection from danger or difficulty. It gives help and comfort. It is a safe retreat to escape the trouble or difficulty. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy, that's at the beginning of the Bible. It's got a long D word, Deuteronomy. Amen. One of those books penned by Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27. Verse 27. The eternal, well, let me start at 26. There is none like unto God, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. Verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath are his everlasting arms. Those arms can be depended upon. No matter what the situation, they will always be there. Even though your grandmother may pass away, the everlasting arms that she sang about in the choir will be there for you. She didn't sing it just because there was a song to sing. She was trying to tell you that, child, when I'm gone, God will still be here for you. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. He said it pleased him to make you his people. It wasn't because there was no one else. It's because he found pleasure in making us to be his people. Psalm 37, and we're going to begin with verse 23. Psalm 37, beginning with verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Amen? Amen. All the parents should say hallelujah. Let's go to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. And I'm going to begin at verse 5. I called upon the Lord in distress. This is a wise person. This person called upon the Lord in distress. And the Lord answered me. Amen? They had a relationship with the Lord. They weren't just doing religion. They actually had a viable relationship with the Lord. Because when this person called the Lord in distress, the Lord answered. The Lord answered. His ear was open to their cry. And he set me in a large place. Not in a cramped place, in a large place. He made room for me. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? What can they do? The Lord says that we're not to fear those who can kill the body. We should instead fear him, because he can throw the body and the soul into hell. Oh, that the people of this day would fear the Lord. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. He helps people that are helping me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. Yes, the Lord will give us the next of our enemies. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And I'm going to start in the middle of verse 5. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. He says he will never leave us nor forsake us. He'll never turn his back on us. You know, people do that. But he won't. No matter what people do, he won't go away. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 3.
It would help if I turned to chapter 3, wouldn't it?
1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 3. No man should be moved by these afflictions in everyday life. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. You see, we are appointed to suffer in this life. suffering is a part of this life. It comes to the good, the bad, and the ugly too. Amen? It comes to everyone. The rain and the sun are here for everyone. And suffering is for everyone too. It teaches us about our God and how much he loves us. It teaches us to draw close to him and to remain close to him. It teaches us how to have faith, how to trust his word, how to stand on his promises, and how to believe him. It makes us who we become in Christ. Everything can't be perfect and roses all the time. Cherries have pits and roses have thorns. Though the roses give a beautiful fragrance, yet if you place your hand in the wrong place, you'll need a bandage. Amen?
Amen.
The good comes with the bad. And we should not be surprised when the bad shows up. We should be expecting it. For we have an enemy. We have an adversary, the devil, who roams about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Therefore, we should be steadfast in the faith. Amen? Steadfast in the faith. Every time the church doors open, we ought to be there. We ought to be there because we need to hear the good word from our God. We need to be there because we need to be in the fellowship of the saints. We need not to forsake the fellowshipping of the saints as we see the day approaching. And yes, we do see the day approaching. Amen. All the more we should be there in the presence of the Lord, in the congregation of the righteous. Could it be, saints, that our present perplexity is our training ground to help others who will come this way? There was an old church song that said, "If I can help somebody as I travel along, if I can help somebody with a word or song, if I can help somebody from doing wrong, no, my living shall not be in vain." Will your living be in vain? Will the fact that you pass this life be just an empty vapor? Or did you come to contribute to the kingdom of God? There are some troubles that just don't make any sense. We just can't seem to get our heads wrapped around the issue. All that we know is that we are in it up to our necks and that no one can help us but Jesus. This is the time that we must pour our hearts out to God. This is when we cry out to our God. This is when we have groanings that cannot be understood. This is when our tears speak to our God. It may be that the Lord is testing our hearts for us to see what is in our heart. Amen? The Bible says that our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know it? They're deceitful. We think we stand one place, but when the test comes, like it came to Peter, we find out that that's not where we are at all. We look at the leader and says, "Oh, yes, I'm right here with the leader." But when the test comes, we fall away. Evidently, we deceived ourselves. We need to find out if we will remain true to the Lord under pressure. We need to know if we will compromise in a conflict. We need to know if we are really as dedicated to the Lord as we think we are, or will we slack off as the storm clouds rise? What will you do? What will you do? Saints, this is the time to draw close to God. This is the time to cry out for his help. This is the time to press into God. You know, the old folks would have prayer meetings, and they would consecrate themselves before they got to church. You see, their joy was in them by the time they arrived. So when they ran into Sister Snotty in the hall and she turned her nose, it didn't hurt them at all. They kept smiling and saying, "Praise the Lord." Why? Because they had been with Jesus, and nothing could steal their joy. There was no circumstance that was going to happen during the service to turn them around. They had a shown up true faith in Jesus Christ, and they would not be moved no matter what. They didn't care who failed, who backslid, who said they wasn't coming back no more. They wasn't going to change for anybody, because no one but them knew what the Lord had really done for them. No one but them knew where he pulled them up from. No one but them knew what that miry clay smelled like that he got them out of. No one knew what God had done for them but them. So when they stood up in the church and they praised the Lord, they didn't care what anybody had to say, because they're saying, "Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He healed my body." Some people, that's their testimony. "He healed my body. See what the Lord has done." Some people's testimony is, "He healed my mind. I was an absolute nut. You should have seen me. I was talking to the walls, and they were going to put me away. But he healed my mind, and that's why I'm here today." Some of them, "He saved my marriage. We had already gone to the lawyer. We were trying to get the money up. And guess what? Jesus stepped in. Grandma came around the house, and she brought her prayer band with us. And when they finished praying, all we could do was saying, 'Baby, I love you.' You see, look what the Lord has done. We ought to give him the more earnest heed and praise, because he has changed us from what we once were to what we are today. We may not be yet all that we're going to be, but surely we are not what we used to be. The saints ought to praise the Lord for progress." Amen? The saints ought to praise the Lord for progress. If people only knew what we used to be, what we used to do, where we really came from, what our testimony really is, they wouldn't look at us so funny when we shout and say hallelujah. They'd be up shouting with us. Amen? Our God is powerful, and he can do what no other power can do. Saints, this is the time to press into God. We must have firm commitment to him regardless of what we are facing. Unrepented sin will stifle us. We can't hold grudges. That's not in this kingdom. That's not in this kingdom. We must forgive everyone, no matter how backstabbing they were. You see, they let the devil get a hold of them, and they let the devil use them to hurt us. But you see, we have the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We have a God in our heart that heals our wounds. We have a God that stands with us and walks us through every trial, every temptation, every trouble, and he gives us the victory. Amen? He gives us the victory. No matter what we face, he gives us the victory. Nor can we be stubbornly insisting on getting our own way. It only works, saints, when we do it his way. If we insist on our way, it won't go anywhere. It'll be sitting there just staring at us. We must seek him to know the way that he takes us. We must continue to be led by the Holy Spirit with each choice and with every move. In this time, God will draw us closer to his word. Let's go to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. And if you'll join me there, I think I'm headed somewhere near verse 12. Ah, Lord, there's that scripture I was looking for. Thank you. Amen. See there? I've been looking for this scripture for a couple of weeks, and there it is. Praise the Lord. Amen. See there? God is faithful. Beginning with verse 11. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest or disciplinest, O Lord. Thou teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity. That thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity. Verse 14, for the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But the judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 71. Psalm 119, I think I'm going to start at verse 71. I usually have an idea about these things. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statute. You see, it wasn't until trouble came that I found the time to get in the word. Amen? The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Why? Because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come in unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Amen. God will purge us of dead things so that he can bring forth more fruit in our lives. You know, we go out into our yards with pruning shears and we clip off all those dead limbs so that the limbs that are remaining gain more strength. They're not giving their life to something that cannot receive life. So God does the same to us. And he purges us of dead things, things that you don't need them any longer. You know, when we were little, we had those bicycles that had training wheels. And we used training wheels until we got to the point that we didn't need training wheels any longer. So your parent would come along with a tool and take the training wheels off. Well, you see, there are some Christians, they're too old for training wheels now, but they still want them on their bicycle. I'm here to tell you that whether you like it or whether you don't, God's taking your training wheels away. You will not have them. You will have to learn how to balance your weight on your bicycle. You will have to learn to pedal faster. You can't be slothful dragging around. You'll have to pay attention to where you're going or else you'll end up on the cement. God is expecting us to grow up, church. It's time to grow up. Amen? we will learn some tough obedience during this time. Hebrews 5:8. We will learn some tough obedience during this time. You know, everything isn't going to be easy. We want it to be, but that's not growth. That's not maturity. God expects us to be able to deal with difficult matters. So we can't cry every time something happens. We have to learn to wipe those tears away and get ready to do what we have to do. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Amen? Jesus Christ had to learn obedience through the things that he suffered. You see, suffering will teach you some things that other things will not. Amen? Suffering will teach you some things that other things will not. You see, when you end up with bitter lemons, it's about time you learn to make lemonade. Amen? We will emerge more useful vessels and fishers of men. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. That's not far away. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Amen. And I'm starting at verse 18. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Everybody, whether it's the preacher or whether it's in the pew, whether it's the usher or the person on the parking lot, regardless to who it is, let everyone, regardless of age, that names the name of Jesus Christ depart from iniquity, sin, and wickedness. It is not in a part of this kingdom, and it just doesn't work here. God will purify us. Let's visit Zechariah for a little bit. I think if you go to Malachi and you go back a little bit, you'll find Zechariah a lot faster. Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 9. Zechariah chapter 13. And verse 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire. He's going to bring some of us through the fire. And will refine them as silver is refined. And will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Amen? After he brings us through the fire, once he refines us, once he tries us, then you'll hear from heaven. Amen? He says, when my people who are called by my name will do these things, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. He says on down there that we'll hear from heaven that he will say, the Lord is my God, we'll say, because he will have said that we are indeed his people. Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Amen. Psalm 66 and verse 10. For thou, O God, hast proved us or tested us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Verse 16, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Amen? Amen. Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. And verse 9. For my name's sake will I defer or delay mine anger. For my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. You see, some of us are chosen right in the midst of trouble. God is watching to see what we will do, what we will say. You see, when it came to Job, and all of those things had happened to him, and his wife said, why don't you curse God and die? Why don't you renounce God and die? Job said, no, I won't either. You see, God is waiting to see what you do in your trial and what comes out of your mouth. For the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, I keep telling you about that Coca-Cola bottle, that when you shake it up and get it agitated, really agitated, and that top pops off, all that can come out is what's in it. If there's Coca-Cola in, Coca-Cola will come out. But if there's root beer in, root beer will come out. And when we get agitated and shaken up in the trials and tribulations of life, what comes out of our mouth? God is listening to know what's really in our hearts. Because you see, it's easy to stand there and say, oh, Lord, I worship you in church. And when you get out, well, what happens then? First Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. First Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. Who are kept or protected by the power of God? We are kept and protected by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, you got to have something to show when you show up before the Lord. You got to have something. Your life has got to speak, and it's got to say, Jesus is my Lord. See, you can see by viewing my testimony that Jesus is my Lord. Amen. God will prepare us to be blessed, just as he did with Joseph. And you don't have to follow me to this scripture. I'm just going to go there. Amen? I'm just going to go there. You know, Joseph went through a lot of troubles in his family, and some of us think the trouble isn't supposed to come to family. But I've got news for you. Wherever there are people, there's trouble. Wherever there is people, there is trouble. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says that Jesus fed them in the wilderness with manna, which their fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee, to do thee good in the latter end. To do thee good in the latter end. God will teach us patience. James chapter 1. God will teach his people patience. Now, saints, you don't have to pray for it. You're going to get it anyway. It comes with the package. You see, when you said, Jesus, come into my heart, he was ready. He says, okay, here I am, and now shall we begin. Amen. James chapter 1 and verse 3. Knowing this, oh, let me start at verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations, into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh or produces patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen? Patience has to have its place. God will make us more like him in our trials and temptations. More like him. And in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. We are to become like Jesus, not like who we want to be, but like him. That's who we should be emulating. Saints, we have nothing to dread. Nothing at all. We have nothing to dread. Why? Because God is with us. And in Mark chapter 5, verse 36, Jesus said to the disciples, and he was talking so that everyone could hear what he said. He said, be not afraid, only believe. You see, someone had died. Someone had had a problem, a serious problem. And somebody was sick. And somebody had an issue. And somebody needed Jesus. But he says, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. There's no point. I'm here with you. There is nothing that can overtake you. I'm here with you. Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. You see, God is always ready to help us. But you see, we have to be close to him. We can't be running somewhere else. We have to be close to him. And in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Saints, we need to do what the Bible says to do. So in First Peter chapter 5, and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. We'll start at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Amen? And settle you. So you must know that God is with you in the midst of this. You're not by yourself, so you can stop that pity party that you've been doing all week. He's not attending pity parties these days. He tells us in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen? Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen again. God is with his people. He's not run off. He already knows about the elections. He already knows about the outcome. He knows who's telling the truth and who's lying and all of those other things that we concern ourselves with. But we need to come to him. We need to come to him and seek his face. He can tell us what to do about the issues of everyday life. You know, someone once said that it's not the big boulder, it's just the pebble that's caught in our shoe. Amen? Father, we thank you for this word today. It's an enriching and strengthening word. It's a word to build us up in our faith and cause us to look to you and to trust you. Lord, we praise you when we feel like it, and we praise you when we don't. And we thank you, Lord, that you are worthy of all the praise all the time. In Jesus' name. And now the benediction. Amen. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Pastor loves you. See you on Wednesday.
Some have called.